because of the Word of God. And it's not okay that we sit back and don't develop faith. It's not okay. Because higher we go in the Lord, you know, the Lord spoke to me one time in my heart, and he said, bigger levels, bigger devils. He said, but I'm with you. In other words, the Lord was telling me, if you are going to serve me, if you're going to fight for your marriage, if you're going to do ministry, if you're going to go on the streets and preach, if you're going to go to the jails, if you are going to witness on the job, if you're going to have my victory in your life, then you're going to face demonic spirits, and you're going to face unbelief in people, in Christians, in church. He said, you will. He said, the Word of God has to be the basis on what you believe and how you believe and what you are confident in. I can't find the God kind of faith outside the Bible. Give me that 1 John 5:4, please, Beth. We're going to see some victorious people in this planet. We're going to see some here in Bluntsville. We're part of that bunch. We're part of that crowd. We're part of that chosen, elect, hallelujah. We're part of them. The Bible says it's him that works in us. I can't help it. It's him that works in us, both the will and the do of his goodness. If you've got a drive towards God, then you've got that inward thing in you called Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's working in you to be healed. It's working in you to be blessed. It's working in you to stay married. It's working in you. I was telling somebody yesterday, I talk a lot about God hates divorce and blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, and I preached this for all of these years. I got it out of the Bible. I said, God hates divorce. I said, he's against divorce. I said, but you know what? I said, I've had people in the church. Well, you know, we've all been divorced and remarried. And I'm like, I tell them, I can't help that. That's none of my business. Just because somebody's is broke don't mean I'm going to quit preaching. You're going to be broke if you're a Christian. I'm going to start preaching. You're going to be broke if you're a Christian. I told that person yesterday, I said, I've got ears that hear what I'm saying that ain't never been married, that's going to get married, that's going to have to know before they get married that one time is it and the game's up. That they going into marriage with the long haul, with a mentality, this is going to be my lifelong partner. I told him, I said, I'm going to preach that. I don't care if everybody in the church gets divorced 1,500 times. But I will tell the one just been divorced, if you don't straighten out what the problem is to start with, you're going to carry it over into the next relationship, and that one's going to end like the first one, more than likely, if you don't change something. Faith is the victory. The Bible says, whosoever is born of God, are you saved this morning? How many here ain't saved? You're not born again. Slip your hand up. Okay, then this is you. He's talking to you. But what you do with this thing that has come into your life from here out is going to determine the measure of the kingdom that can manifest. Fixing your car, fixing your tractor. I just told you the story about my tractor. Nobody could fix my tractor. I didn't go to college. I'm not a mechanic in that manner. But the Holy Spirit knows how to train you and me. If we don't know how to do it physically and can't do it physically, we can come out of our mouth with such power that a transmission can be healed. You hear what I'm telling you? Supernatural. Now, well, gears are broken. You're a doubter. Well, we got to use common sense. Who told you that? Who told you to use common sense? Nobody in the kingdom should be telling you, well, now you got to use common sense. No, the Bible says, let this mind be in me and you that is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Bible says in Romans over there that our carnal mind is an enemy to God. An enemy. That natural carnal thinking is an enemy to God. Read your Bible. The Bible says to be God-minded, to be spiritually minded, is life and peace, to be God-minded, to be carnally minded, is death, will bring death, spiritual death. Now I want your cars fixed. I want your house paid off. I can't help myself. I want you to be debt-free and own and have what you want. And the Bible says you can. The Bible said, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This world system is work three jobs, save all you can, count all you get. But this kingdom says give, and it shall be given. There is a contrast. It does not work together. Me and Teresa was talking about it the other day. Now, you've got your life and where you're at. You've got your journey and where you're at. You've got your life and your future, and wherever God's taking you, I have no idea. But I do know that as you go, God will bring you out and bring you up to take you in and set you free. I've been redeemed. You've been redeemed from poverty. I've been redeemed from fear of storms. I would probably have 5 or 6 tornado shelters if I hadn't got set free from. And I'm not afraid to die. See, if you're afraid to die, you are right now sitting here in torment. Every year you get older, you're going to be more tormented. You're going to lay there and you're going to think about that old box and how you might smother in it and how you might and your heart might give out. And you know, I have them thoughts. What if that heart just goes thump? Well, I did have open heart surgery. Why would he not attack that part in my mind, right? Why not say my ankle's going to go out? And I'm going to fall and break my head over the chair in there. Why not give me them thoughts? No, he gives me something for me that I can relate to, that has happened, that not happened, to get me in torment and fear. So I come back and I see, faith is the victory. You cannot have faith in anything like that if you are afraid of dying. Why would you be afraid of dying? I mean, to be absent from this body, poof, you're in glory land, man. I mean, you're with the Lord. You're in the presence of God. You're in the presence of, but if you ain't born again, then you will be tormented because God cannot receive you in that place. You cannot have peace. You cannot know that if you die, you say, well, I'm young right now. I don't know what's going to happen. But you know, we live in a dangerous world. Every day, just about, I have to swerve somebody on their phone, and they come clean across the line. You let somebody hit you head on, and you running 40 and them running 60, that's 100. Right? 100, bam! And you are stopped instantly at 100 miles an hour. That's not going to happen to me. You know why? I've got faith in the angels that God has encamped around about me. I do not text and drive. I keep my mind, I keep my eyes on all of y'all. Just in case, y'all do that. It takes one split second to leave the road and bam! One split second. And you know, people say, well, it was just your time to go. No, it was not my time to go, Johnny. I shouldn't have been texting. I wouldn't have run off the road, and I cut my life short early. I did it. I had to believe God to help me stay off of that phone while I'm on driving. He told me, he said, you're selfish. I said, no, I'm not hurting nobody, Lord. He said, no. He said, if you run across there and hit somebody, you did it. He said, you have got a loaded gun in your hand. with the trigger back. That phone. Y'all listening to me out there, Christians? Pull off of the road. Travis drives me around now. I've evolved. He drives. Hallelujah. That's not in my message. That was straight from the throne of God. That's not in my message. I'm trying to get over here in faith. Pump some more faith in you. But it says, he that overcomes the world, and this is the victory. What? That overcomes the world, our faith. Even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes sickness. This is the victory that overcomes oppression. This is, faith is the victory that overcomes fear over natural disaster. Faith is the victory that overcomes fear of some lunatic coming off the road and shooting my house up and killing me and my family. Faith is the victory. So I tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand of protection at my house. And then I'll say it every now and then, but God, these thieves go by here. I know they are, and they look because I got a bunch of stuff. I got a bunch of stuff, Johnny. And I say, Lord, the only reason that they can't come over here is because something gives them a holy fear that they feel like I just better not go there and get that. That's angels. They come to my house. Oh, man, I just feel like something might happen if I go in there. They ain't stealing none of my stuff off the front porch either. My dogs have done got so old, it's not because I got to meet my pit bull either. I mean, they done got so old, they're about 10 years old. They go out and they go, row, row, row. And then they go back in the house. About three barks and it's over, Johnny. I think they're wore out. I think their light is just not worth the fight anymore. Y'all just come on in. Don't we sing that song, this joy that I have? World didn't give it to me, no, this joy that I have. Yeah, we sang it, but I mean, it's just a song. No, it's not a song to me. I didn't have no joy before I got saved. I didn't have no faith before I got saved. See, I'm not like some of y'all had money all your life and you ain't never really needed God. Y'all got quiet. These people got money. They don't need God. You don't need God. Listen, I can make money without God. I need him in my life to protect me, to save me, to heal me when nothing else can heal me, to keep me. See, I went and I was challenged. Y'all know the stories. I tell y'all these, I'm going to say, divine stories. They are divine. My testimony is divine. Divine, not earthly. Why? Because I'm believing in a divine God based on his divine word that he will do what his word divinely says in my life and in your life and in this church and in this world. Hallelujah. Y'all know the story with the tractor. First of the year, Teresa said, she said, now look, you got to watch people that when they talk to the Lord and they're in tune with the Lord, they're liable to spit out prophetic words. And if you're just all carnal all the time and you really ain't reading your Bible and you ain't praying, you ain't going to fight to go to church, you ain't going to give, you're going to give a dollar because God understands that your light bill's due and all that. If you're going to do all that, divine words will come out of the mouths of people that's anointed and they will be natural to you and you won't reach out and grab them. Teresa, she said, going down the road, might have been at the house, whatever. She said, debt free. She don't rhyme at all. I mean, she tells a joke and it's like, are you serious? That's funny. You know, I laugh because it ain't funny. Because she thinks it's funny. She laughs at stuff that I think, Her funny is different.
But you know what? She said, debt free and 23, that rhymes. And I mean, I'm like,
what'd you say? She said, debt free in 2023. I said, I received it. I said, I received it. Well, now, I've been laying my hands on my house for nearly 15 years. About every time I go out of my house, Lord, I will never lose my house. They almost took it one time because supply wasn't coming. And I believe you, Lord, and I'm going to own this house, not me and Wells Fargo. I thank you, Father. And see, people have told me, well, you know, if you work, everybody can own the house. Well, don't blow God off just because you're carnal. Don't blow God off in my life. Don't blow him off because you think that I or people can work hard and accomplish. They can, but it's not got no eternal value or worth to them. They did it on their own. They made it on their own. They got money on their own. They worked hard on their own. But what they fail to realize is you are made in the image and likeness of God, and God has been good to you your whole life without you even acknowledging him, and he did the best he could do to give you a wonderful life. He just should have left me alone if he didn't want me to go about and get people healed. I'm talking about God. If he didn't want me to keep my own kids. I mean, I plowed this church and plowed this church when I felt like good God, everybody has got a cloud of unbelief over them. Come here. It seemed like I plowed and I beat and I beat, and I would leave discouraged because I couldn't seem to get nothing through to nobody. Because a lot of people had,
it's all about prosperity. Prosperity. Money, 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 money.
And those that have a problem with me preaching about money, they won't give God nothing.
Well, I give when I can, Brother Weston.
One lady told me in this church, she said,
well, I just believe, you know, that we just need to believe God for what we need to get by.
I said, you're not a very generous person. I said, what about your brothers and sisters sitting in church that we could maybe pay their car off? If you would believe God for a little bit more, bring it to me. Believe God to meet your needs, and in whatever he gives you over, bring it to me. I need it.
And they're like, he's just after everybody's money. They missed the whole point, Sandy.
I've thought about it before. The Lord wouldn't let me come in here and say, okay, who owes for a car? And all the hands raised up for a car. Okay, we're going to come together every offering. And we're going to take Sandy's car. And we're going to get it paid off. We're going to come together. How many going to be involved in it? Yeah, we ain't doing that. There's 10. How many going to be involved in that? Let's take up an offering. When we take up an offering every week, put Sandy's car paid in full. Put your seed in there. Pay her car off. Who's next? Who's not got the next car? Then we move on up to the house. Weston's got one by faith back there. He's 3, 5. He got his hand up. Your car's coming, son. Then until everybody in the church. Now, what if we're just sitting here?
Hey, I give what I can.
God says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. You give for somebody's car to be paid off out of your need, not out of your abundance. Out of your need. And I'm telling you, God will start a supernatural supply into your life because he loves a cheerful giver. And the Bible says he's able to make all grace abound to that person that give, that they have all sufficiency in all things. They don't lack nothing. And because we are carnal people, born of the Spirit of God, and we don't get in the Word, our mind never gets renewed, so we stay born again, maybe, might make it to heaven, but we never progress spiritually on this planet. Not this church. I cannot stand you sick. I cannot stand you broke, going through, hurting. I can't stand it. Why don't you do something about it? I am right now. Right now, I'm telling you, march, soldier. Get up. Get your weapons. Take the shield of faith in Ephesians 6. Speak to that mountain. Speak to your tractor. I spoke to my tractor. My tractor cost me $20. Nobody could fix my tractor. But God released my faith in God that I wouldn't be robbed by the enemy, that this thing wouldn't take my money in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I believe the wisdom of God came because faith was my victory, not because I knew how to fix it, not because I knew what to do. I took steps in everything. I like my tractor. I started to call all of them people that can't fix my tractor. I could start me a business. We got that regen stuff going on that farmers hate because their tractors are tearing up right when they go out from under warranty, and $10,000 to $15,000 it's costing these farmers to have newer equipment and stuff. Praise God. But I can fix their stuff for $50. But I'm not anointed for that. See, faith is the victory that overcomes fear. Teresa told you about it. Some of you ain't got a jealous bone in your body. I just can't minister to them that's jealous. Why not? Christ is in you. If you've ever heard my testimony, then go preach it. You don't hear testimonies just so you can be happy. My brother Scotty or Sister Teresa, Johnny, he's up there. You know, abide in him, abide. If you abide, Johnny's like, but abide. And we're like, we just heard it. And you're telling us again. He can't help it. It's important. He can't help it. You're going to go home. Abide. They say that. Read that Bible every time you go. God, pray. And Brother Scotty, fast. You're not going to starve to death. Unbelief. Jesus said unbelief. If you want this faith that overcomes the world, then you're going to have to get rid of some unbelief, because unbelief cripples faith. Cripples it. The overcoming power of God in me and you is defeated by us letting unbelief in. I know God can, but I know He can fix my tractor, but I don't know. All the mechanics said, there's some unbelief stirring. Ooh, you had that pot of victory. You had the faith going on in there before you got the evidence, and you're like, ooh, my tractor will be to me soon. It'll be to me soon. This is going to be the one, the third one. This three times the charm, the Trinity, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. And then He calls, I can't do nothing. And you go, oh, Jesus, let's pour a little unbelief in the pot now. God, I'm just back at the mercy of everything. Can't nobody do nobody do. And then you talk to people, what's wrong, your tractor? You can't get it fixed. I told one, I said, it's not funny. I've been 5 months down this road. This is not funny. 6 months. And I put more miles than the tractor has hours on it. Just driving it around to try to get it fixed. Well, the Lord will work it out. He'll work it out. And I'm like, He's going to have to do it quick or I'm going to burn it. He can't work it out if I burn it. See, what was I doing? Quitting. Winners never quit. But quitters don't never win. They might get fortunate every now and then, hit the jackpot. Oh, Lord bless me with 25. I'd rather have a million. Keep the 25. I'd rather pay people's houses off. I'd rather buy them a house and a car. I'd rather walk up there and bust them with $200 right before Christmas. $800 right before Christmas. I'd rather be a blessing. Wouldn't you rather be a blessing? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Okay, Beth, give me something else. I forgot what I got. I was thinking about this. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. His right standing is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by what? Fear? Poverty? Lack? It's not in there. How do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, what if people don't get healed? I said, that's none of my business. I said, if I think like that, then I won't preach healing, because I'm afraid they won't get healed. Well, what if everybody don't get their money? I said, that's not my problem. I said, I'm going to preach it, and God better do what he says, or he's going to look real bad. Right? I went to God one time, and I said, God, you said, exchange my life for your life. I give you my mess, and you give me your best. I give it to you, Lord. Now you're responsible, Lord, for my marriage staying together. I'm giving it to you. Now I can't do that and go home and pack my bags and leave. Because Teresa's got an attitude. You know how sickening that is when you get home and your spouse has got an attitude and you're trying to do your very best to stay in faith. I mean, it's just you want to leave, Johnny. I mean, you just want to go just crawl over in the back of your truck and leave. But you can't believe God and then bail out. He can't do nothing. He says, as it is written. Somebody say, as it's written. Now you got something to stand on right there. God said you must stay married by faith. You must receive your healing by faith. You must receive your kids' well-being by faith. You must receive the blessing of the Lord maketh rich by faith, because it is written in there. You've got to believe, because it is written, that God is going to manifest his covenant in your life. And you don't put him on a timeline and say, God, hurry, God, hurry. No, he's not in a hurry. He's fixing the problem in your life. He's fixing me and you. He's mending us. He's healing us. He's bringing us up. He's establishing us in the faith. I don't want a shot of faith every now and then. I want to be established in the faith. He said for us to be established in the faith. Our scissor lift part tore up, and you can raise it up, but you have to turn the knob, the part that is magnetic and that throws power to it and pulls a little valve, and scissor lift will let down, you know. And that thing went out. And so Travis is up. It's real aggravating. Every time I go to do something, Dad, I need to come down. I'm like, I started telling him one time, jump! I'm tired of hearing that, man. I'm over here. Can't you see I'm over here? And then he's irritated up there because he's bumping his head on stuff because he can't come down. And I'm like, well, son, did you know the rail was there? Then he's like, oh, oh, oh. See, when things are not working right, it's frustrating. In your marriage, right? In your finances, it can be frustrating. In your relationship, in your ministry. I didn't have nothing this morning, Monty. And I didn't feel good. I've been attacked with some kind of garbage. And so I thought, oh, I just can't go this morning. I need a little nap. I need a little nap. And then I lay down there, and Teresa comes in there. Hey, it's after 9. I'm like, God, shut up. I don't care what time it is. You know, I ain't got to be there at 11. I don't have to come here. You do Sunday school. I didn't tell her all that. You know what I thought? I thought, up, soldier. That's what you ought to do every time the devil tells you don't go to church. It's just going to be the same old boring stuff. You get up and shoot him. Told Donald to walk through. I said, we're going to black the devil's eye today. Donald. I said, you're whipping him, ain't you? Oh, yeah, he can't win. I said, no, you're here. Proof of it. You don't go, you don't get up and go to the house of the Lord. All of y'all by Facebook land, God's going to do away with your media one day so that you don't sit in your living room and listen to preaching when you can go assemble with God's soldiers and get plugged up and get involved in the will of God. It's not the will of God that you sit at home. It's not the will of God when there's churches all around. Well, it's a long way to drive. Well, listen, when you used to do drugs or go bar hopping, you all night, or you would get ready and spend hundreds of dollars to go bar hop all night. And you didn't care because there was ugly people in there. You just get ugly with them. And we come on down here to the church, man, and then now Johnny shaved his head. You serious? Johnny shaved his head. Lady told me one time, come down there on the street, because I had a beard kind of like Travis's, you know, and the Lord dealt with my heart to shave it off. And that was hard, Johnny. Long hair, I like my long hair. Had it, you know, in a shag, all that stuff, you know. Thought I looked cool. You know, nothing wrong with long hair. Nothing wrong with the beard. Well, the Lord dealt with me to shave it off. I said, oh, Jesus can't be Jesus. You know, this can't be Jesus. So I'll go to him and I'll say, Lord, why do I, everybody else around here has got beards. What's the deal? What's the deal? And the Lord told me, he said, they're not going where you're going. You're going somewhere. They're not. And so I went and shaved it off, Johnny. And about that time, my pastor, he had shaved, he had a goatee. That's why I got a goatee. I thought, oh, man, Bradley's got a goatee. I've screwed me a goatee. He's fine with the goatee. I had to quit wearing muscle shirts and where people quit seeing my chest hairs and stuff and all that. He didn't make me, but he asked me to stop wearing them. Stop wearing them. Cover up, you know. My granddaughter ain't never seen me without a shirt. If she comes through and I'm with a shirt, Pawpaw's naked! She thinks I'm naked. Travis runs around without a shirt at home. She don't say nothing about that. She don't say, oh, Daddy, you're naked. No, but she comes out there. Papa's always got a shirt on. You know, the Lord dealt with me years and years and years ago. And do you know what? It wasn't really about it bothering people. I believe that God was asking me to submit to him. I believe he was asking me to submit. So I go out on the street. Preaching on the streets, Johnny. And boy, I'm ecstatic. I don't like it. It's on Friday. I'm working a public job, and I'm getting in most time at 5 o'clock, and I have to go home and get my notebook and all that, and drive and get speakers and stuff, and be there and have it set up preaching by 7 o'clock. And me and Tracy are not getting to eat out anymore on Friday night. I mean, that was our night out, you know, to eat. But what does it say we live by? The just shall live by faith, right? Because of their faith. Well, I'm out there one night, and this woman walks up to me, and she said, Mr. Weston? I said, yeah, I'm him. Like that, and she said, do you know what that makes you look like? I said, what you're talking about? That hair on your face. Well, I would come out and listen to you preach if you would shave that off. I looked at her and I said, well, you won't never get to hear me preach, ever. So just get on your bicycle and leave, honey, honey. You know why I did that? She's trying to mess with my faith. God's okay with the goatee. He asked me to shave the beard. She didn't know all that. She didn't know I done sacrificed a beard. I tell Travis, man, shave that beard. I don't want to. I like it. I said, you get on mom's nerves. He sits there going. He's doing it going down the road the other day when he's talking and thinking. I told him, I said, you know what? I said, that gets on mom's nerves. He's just popping that beard out. Going to shave the habit off. But you know what? See, that tried to bother me. I left there and I said, God, I'm sorry I said that to her, Lord, but I felt like it's okay that I have this goatee. You didn't deal with me to get rid of it. I've had to get rid of a lot of stuff. I felt like I had at that time, you know. I got to love my enemies. Good Lord, that was a deep one, man. I mean, I done, you know, I can't bust them down at work no more. I mean, you won't let me, Lord. I mean, I can't run over people if they won't let me over in the truck. I used to run them off the road, man. I turn my blinker on, and I leave you for just about, I give you about 20 seconds. When I know you've seen my blinker, if you don't offer me in and you try to come around, you going in the ditch. I was trying to be a gentleman telling you I'm coming over. And you're so selfish on the highway, that's the way I used to think, Johnny. Now I'll just sit there for a mile. Then I'll say, Lord, I thank you. Somebody will let me over. It's a lot different world I live in. Now I'm living by faith. Thank you, Lord. Now, you know what happens? If they even think my blinker's on, I think they're like, come on over. Favor. It's called favor. It's called the just shall live by faith, not anger, not issues anymore, not jealousy. Y'all young folk, don't be jealous of your mate. I'm afraid I'll lose her. Well, get out of that afraid. Get out of it. Don't enter it. Don't ever let it enter your life. Don't ever. Even if the hunk comes up to her or him, let them alone and let them go by their convictions. Because if it's God and you give it to God, then they're not interested in anybody else. They're not interested in anybody else. They're not interested in anybody else. And if they are, let them go. Because sooner or later, they will leave you when it gets deeper and you get deeper in love. But it won't happen. Don't get into that jealous world.
I don't even want no, Aubrey, I wouldn't have a boyfriend. I don't want no boyfriend. I don't want no.
She don't even know what she's saying. Right now she wants her Barbie dolls and her little kitty cat stuff that we're getting her for Christmas. I guess all I can say. Not to tell her what we got for Christmas. But there'll come a time, I've asked this one. You ever gonna get married?
Oh yeah, I'll have kids one day, but I'm not in a hurry.
2 or 3 years later, she met Romeo. He's sharp though. I mean, he's a good looking guy, and ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm not funny. Met Romeo over there. Who wouldn't want him? Look at him, man. I mean, he's a good looking guy, man. You know, things change.
Oh, I'm in love with you, Romeo. Romeo, oh, Romeo, where art thou, oh, Romeo?
They've not had a crossword yet. Enjoy the ride, girls and boys. Get full of God. Get full of God. Stay full of God. Because you know what I told somebody the other day? I said I wouldn't trade my married life for anything. I'm happily married. And you're married to Teresa. I know it. She's helped me become a man. God used her to help me, you know, to become a man. Why? Because I had to trust God with her. I still have to trust God with her. God keep her together. I told her last night, I said, you know what? I know when you're sick. I hear it every day, every day. Every day. I want to say it too. My body pops from places I never thought you could pop. Started up a 24-foot ladder the other day, and I had this thought, what if you fall off of that? You're 55. You better not climb up that ladder. Wind blowing about 30 miles an hour again. And I thought, but God, what 55 got to do with it? But God, I'm going up this ladder like I always did. I've been believing God since I was 27 years old. He's the same God at 55 that he was. I had to combat those thoughts. And I skinnied right on up there. I put a half a born medal on in a day by myself. And now I get up here a little older, and then people say, well, you know, the economy. No, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Now that part, going back to that part, I'm going to try to illustrate to you how faith really, when you're in it, does. Travis, I looked that part up, and shot Travis a picture of two parts. And I told him, I said, order this one. And he ordered it. And I sent him another one. I said, order that one. Order two of them. And so he ordered. After a couple of days, he starts going to our mailbox every day. Travis, because they mail it to the mailbox. He's going to the mailbox.
Chris, what is he doing? He's just getting nosy. He's just nosy. He's going to our mailbox. He's getting nosy.
I said, no, man. I said, he ain't getting nosy. I said, he's looking for that part. You know,
no, I think it's just because he's getting nosy, wanting to see what my mail's coming in my mail.
Which he might. I mean, I don't know. He is nosy. You know, he does get nosy. But he's going every day, Johnny, and he's looking in that mailbox. And what is he doing? He's expecting that to come. Why? He ordered it. He's expecting it to come. Now, there's another one that I ordered that ain't got here yet. And when they started delaying the thing, I seen him lose confidence right quick in it. It's delayed. He's like, well, I can tell you right now, they're not going to get away with that. They're going to give me that money like it come out of his pocket. They're going to come out of mine. They're going to give me that money back, you know, and everything. And I'm like, well, it'll probably come on, you know. It'll probably just be patient and it'll come on, you know. It'll come on in there. It's just delayed. It just looks like it's delayed. So we quit expecting, Johnny, because it ain't got here. Now, that's not good. I expect that part to get here, too. It just might take a little longer. But I'm not going to give up. And I'm not going to quit. I'm going to go look in my mailbox for it. I'm going to expect it to come. And see, that's what Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24 mean. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. The book of James over there says, if a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and don't hold back. He said, but let that man or that person ask in faith, not waver. He says, for that man that wavers, let him not think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. He says, because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I have women send me friends requests every now and then. And y'all wondering if I take them. I just go, ding, ding, ding. No, thank you. Why? Well, I know them. They're affiliated. Some of them affiliated to other people. Nothing wrong. Ding, no. Ding, no. Ding, no. Because the next thing you know, I'm going to get a message. Hello, Scotty. Hey, Scotty. It's been a long time. In Messenger. We got a PM yet. You know what PM means? Private. Private message. I was thinking about this morning, you know, and y'all, some of you may not, I don't know, but they game online, Beth M does it, game online and all that. You can talk to people all over the planet, gaming. Same thing as sending me a message. I told Travis the other day, I said, I don't have no need for women to be my friends. I just don't have no need for them. Why? Because I'm putting a temptation up. I am creating a temptation. Putting myself in a place that I could lose everything I got. Lose my marriage. I would never do. Don't start out like that. Women don't need to be ministered to by men. I never went by myself and ministered to women in the women's thing. Never. I took somebody in there with me. Why? Because I'm not going to be accused of anything that I'm not going to set myself up and be accused, you know, of anything. Y'all young boys gaming on there with them girls, and they got boyfriends, and you're talking to them. That's ungodly. It's going to mess with your faith. It'll cause you to unplug with the people you care because you're giving in to a wrong spirit. Had a guy told me here a while back, wife, lost interest in different things in their lives and all of that stuff. And come to find out, she that one of the could have possibly been talking to somebody and said, that's why. Now it makes sense, because they're unplugged from me. They don't want to spend time with me like they used to. They don't want to be with me like they used to. Same way with the Lord. When we let things get in there, we can be on fire for God and love God, going to church, praying, seeking the Lord, and let that affection turn somewhere else, and we start to lose interest in the things of the Lord. We start unplugging. So I want to encourage you. This didn't go like I thought, but it's good. It's some good stuff. So if y'all women are talking to men, stop it. This church ain't going to be known for that. That spirit's not going to get here. I don't allow the spirit of strife in this church. I don't allow y'all arguing over stuff, over petty stuff. That's why people come here. Oh, you can just feel the love in there. That church, you just don't know what we did to get it. We fought for it. We stand against anything contrary to it. That's why, you know, I tell people, don't be on your cell phone. Well, it's really none of your business, is it, Mr. Weston? Yes, it is. You're under the anointing that God's called me under, and you're causing it to be hindered in the ministry that God's put me overseer. That there are some people from another church working on the sound booth up there, and that's working on the computer for me. I said, yeah, just out of the blue, I said, yeah, I tell my guys, I said, I'm training everybody that ever comes up here and works on this. I said, we got internet up here. I said, and cell phones wasn't that like they are now. I said, we got internet up here. I said, and I was telling them, I make it real clear to the people running this sound booth up here, you know, not to be on the internet any given time when you're doing ministry up here, because you will hinder the anointing in that church, and people that need a touch from God, it can hinder that. It can hinder. And it can make the minister feel irritated because something's wrong. He don't know what's wrong, or she don't know what's wrong. But there's a disruption in the flow of the Spirit of God. And they'll begin to pick up on that. You know, they won't know. And then it'll, you know why I know? and that minister goes to get feeling frustrated, cuts off the flow of the Holy Spirit. And so I tell them, I tell them real strongly, if you're caught on that internet, you won't be doing that anymore. He said, well, I'm guilty. I pulled up the football game. I said, stop it. I said, do not do Jesus that way. And do not do your church that way. I said, if you up there, you ain't up there to be playing games. You up there working in the ministry. There's people fasting and praying and believing for people to come there to get their marriages fixed and their lives together and their cars and their bills and their faith, and you are stopping the service in a sense. You should be back there. I told him, he wished he'd never told me time he got done. I'm like, we're done here. You're not doing what I want you to anyways. Now go back up yonder. God sent you down here for me to tell you, stop that up there. Stop it, or get off of it. Get off of it. Now that seems a little tough, don't it? Does it? I don't allow the devil to play my piano at home. He just ain't gonna do it. You're not gonna be playing your music at my house. You know. You're not gonna be ringing my doorbell. Hey, are you in there? He's secured. Shoot him right out through that poof with some faith. Hallelujah. I told Beth, I said, you train these people the way I tell you. Train them the way I tell you. Tell them, I told Beth, they're never to be on the internet, never to be on phones, never. If you're in ministry here, I don't really need you sitting in here on the phone. I told Travis one time that phone thing, what it do, it'd come through there. Tracy brought it up. Tracy brought it up, and I told him, I said, if you can't control that phone, I said, I can. I said, I can throw it out in that parking lot out there, and I'll take that sledgehammer, and I will crush that to where it won't enter my service. Well, I done read in the Bible where the prophet wouldn't discipline his sons, and they all three died in one day. Letting them do stuff that's my son, you know. And that's, I will bring my son down. If I'll bring my son down because I'm not going to allow that, then I will take precautions about anybody. But I would probably be more lenient on other folk than I would Travis. I probably would. Hallelujah. But you want to raise your kids where they're not the generation that you see now. Disrespect for God, disrespect for elderly, disrespect. You see it at the gas pumps. I mean, I pull up and I'll be like, these young people, I hope that old man don't pull up or I need to get some gas. And I'm thinking, man, you ought to get out and pump that old man's gas. You know, don't push the old man off the side. Man, he's a veteran. He's been here forever. You know, but that's the generation. If we're not careful, we'll raise our kids up the same way. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and we thank you today, Father.